Well, I want to thank everybody for that showed up early to salt the property and the driveway. That stuff matters, man. Just walking through here this morning, you had the sound tech folks putting cameras up. Our speakers went out. Some reason, somehow, I don't know what happened. This is all new equipment, but they're running through things and chasing it down. And you got the camera team, worship team. You got the River Kids up there, people praying in pre-service prayer. I mean, it's just amazing. The place is like a beehive at 9 o'clock in the morning. Folks start coming in. I want to say thank you. We get going and going. Amen. Can we just say thank you for all the workers and servers that help a Sunday so that we do it all for God's glory. We do it all for God's glory so people's lives will be touched. We do that because this is, for some on live stream, this is their only church. And I tell you that all the time. The greatest testimony is my in-laws, Don and Ellen. They're born again. They're saved and on their way to heaven because of the live stream ministry. They watch us way up north in the thumb. And I know they got hammered with some snow, probably. I don't know exactly where this snow came in, but God bless them. It's just amazing. I can spend all day just thanking the great people of this church and what God has done. Last week, you see all those babies, those families getting dedicated. Isn't that amazing? Let's give God glory for that. And we got one more thing to do before I get into my message. And we got a part of growing church is bringing in new members. And so I'm going to ask our brother Ennis, who's also our deacon, want to come up here and do this part. And then we're going to get into the word. Amen? Okay, come on, brother. Welcome, Deacon Ennis, up here.
Good morning, River of Life. Pastor, I'm amazed at where we come from. Amen. 870 Savage. I look around and, man, so many of you keep coming week after week, month after month. Membership is important. The things that he just said up here, the people's lives that we touch, membership is important. Being a part of the body of Christ. Dad, look at what you and mom have done. This is because you guys started this. Just, it's amazing. It really is. So today, I get the privilege of bringing in more couples into the River of Life family. So, if you're here and I call your name, would you please stand because we want to acknowledge you today, all right? Jasper and Mary Rice. Yes? Jasper and Mary. Kevin and Jessica McCaskey. Nathan and Nicole Balaga. Yes. And Gary and Sydney Turnbull. Yes. Yes. Family, would you reach your hands towards these new members? They are family today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for bringing in new members into the RLL family today. We pray over their lives, Lord. Give them direction. Help them to see a need and to fill a need, not only for this congregation, Lord, but for your glory. Bless their families, Lord. Keep them safe. Walk with them all the days of their lives, Lord. And help them to be a blessing to others just by their living example. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor. Amen. Thank you, brother. Got your glasses. How many appreciate Brother Ennis? Amen. Okay, we're going to get right into the word. I got a word for you today. Gary said, well, you look like you're just going to talk to us today. Do I need a little fire in the background and a little long? Just thought I'd dress a little comfortable today, amen. But I do got a word I want to talk about. I like to talk in series. It just is the way I preach and minister. Last week was a standalone message, but every December, what we've been doing for the last few years is picking a theme. I know this is the first day of Advent and things like that. And so I like to take a theme and talk about it all month long. We did it with believe. We did it with hope, with joy. This month, I want us to talk all month long about peace. I'm gonna call this peace on earth. How many can use a huge dose of peace right now? I think if there's ever been a time that we need the peace of God, not peace, our fake peace, our false peace, but the peace that can only come from the Prince of Peace. Come on, somebody. How many can use some of that today? Amen. So won't you stand with me? I want you to open up your Bibles to Romans 8, and I'm going to do it different today. This was going to be my last message in the series, and as we were going into the new year, but I couldn't get away from it. I was up early before the Thanksgiving parade, a tradition we do, and I'm up working on this message, working on it, out there frying my turkey on my phone, working on it at night, working on it while the Lions pulled that crazy wind off and all this stuff. I'm like, Lord Jesus, and I'm all this stuff, being with family and putting the tree up Friday and all the fun stuff that we're doing, and I couldn't shake this message, and I'm going to minister to you to it today. And before we do, I'll give a shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Reed, who's with us. Mr. and Mrs. Reed, Kavar and Crystal, God bless you. Also want to welcome Brother Harv is with us today. We've been praying for him, and he's out, and he's with us today, healthy and in the house of God. And always good to see Mom and Dad. We've been praying for Dad. He's back. He's ready to go. Got him some new shoes, looking sharp, said he's ready to worship. Amen. Come on. Amen. So we're ready for the word today. But all across the nation, people, and all across the world, even nominal Christians are entering into this Christmas spirit, Christmas season. And we all know the saying from the verse that says, from the angel to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. And many people are going to see that being performed in plays, and they're going to hear it in choirs, and they're going to read it in scripture. It's going to be all over the place. But I know a lot of people, when it comes to the peace of God, is actually a missing piece in their life. I almost called it the missing piece. In fact, if you would put a Christmas list, probably you're doing that now, the top of the list for many of us would be peace. But I want you to know that God has made a way for us to have peace. I love what Pastor Steve is exhorting. When we were in a mess, then come along Jesus. And that's what happened. That's what the Christmas story is about. And God looked down and he saw us and he said, now the time has been fulfilled for me to get involved and to bring the must promise. 450 years before this angel announced peace on earth, 450 years before it, Isaiah said, there's going to be a son given and a child will be born. And upon his shoulders will be a government and there will be no end. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. So God has made a way for us to have peace, and it's actually two ways. One, by receiving the Prince of Peace, and we're going to hear all month long what that means. But secondly, he's made a way for the peace of God to go forth in the earth is by commissioning the peacemakers. So I want to talk about the peacemakers today. Are you a peacekeeper or a peacemaker? And in order to do this, I was looking at, I'm going to do this backwards. So I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. I will have them on the screen today because I'm going to be all over the chat. I wish I could read the whole chapter of 8. Baby said, no, don't do that. So I'm going to go backwards, starting at verse 37. So many great passages in this chapter. I love Romans. Romans 8, 37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Tell your neighbor, you got to be persuaded. Now, if you're visiting, you're in for Thanksgiving, and you're new to the church, we talk to one another in this church. And if the person next to you don't look like they want to be disturbed, find somebody that does and tell them. You're going to talk to people next to you today. You need to give yourself permission to holler back, to say amen, to express your love, and to get excited about Jesus in this place. If you could get excited over Michigan pulling that crazy wind yesterday, and I know some of you were yelling, we can get excited over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I just got to remind you of that. Amen. So he says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present that you're dealing with right now, or things that's going to come. Oh, my Lord, what's 2025 going to come? Paul said, don't worry about it, because whatever's going to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you get it? That's good. Back it up, back it up, back up to verse 33. What shall we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? I don't know. They didn't get it over there. If God be for us, if God of the universe is on my team, if he's for me, if he's for me, then what have I got to be worried about? You see that? Well, what do I got to be worried about? Who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then he goes through, and I'll come back to this. Verse 3, who shall bring a charge? Verse 34, who tries to condemn us? Verse 35, who shall separate us? Back it up. Last one, verse 19. For all creation eagerly waits, or in eager expectation for the revealing of the sons of God, or the children of God. Who are the children of God? I'm glad you asked me that. Bring it all the way back. Last scripture, it's on your screen. Matthew, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children, the sons of God. You mean all of earth, all of creation is waiting for you and me. Why? Because they need that peace. But in order for us to give that peace, we got to make sure we have that peace. And in order to get the peace, we can't be a peacekeeper, because God's not a peacekeeper, he's a peacemaker. We're going to shake it up a little bit today. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Get ready. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, oh God, that you would have your way in the service today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody a high five and tell them, are you a peacemaker or a peacekeeper? Peacemaker or peacekeeper? Thank you, Zechariah. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of powerful scriptures in that. I love the book of Romans. Thank you, Jesus. Zechariah did an awesome job. I believe he's the one that made that video for the youth convention. Is awesome to see. It is awesome to see young people on fire for God. Phil and Nayeli, I tell you guys this all the time, but man, you guys are doing an awesome job. Aren't they doing an awesome job? It's hard being called to youth ministry. That's a demographic that, you know, it's hard. It's challenging. Melinda and I did it for 11 years. I wouldn't say it's harder now, but it sure is different. And so keep our leaders, all of our leaders, in your prayers, especially them. Amen. My granddaughter's going to help me preach today. She's on the front row looking all cute. Amen. But let's get into this word. We're going to bring all these verses together today. I'm trying my best to bring them together and see what the Lord does. And I think the best place to start is by defining what a peacemaker is, to try to bring some understanding on what a peacemaker is. And one of the best ways to illustrate this, because many people think about peace, okay, it's peace and we are to be peacemakers. We are to be, you know, just very gentle and kind of passive in our thoughts and in our ways and in our life. Yeah, that's kind of true. That's half of the word peace. By the way, Jesus was the first person and actually the only person to use this term. This term was foreign. This term was foreign until Jesus came and he taught on the Beatitudes, and that's where you find it. And he's the one that introduced this new word, peacemaker. But the best way to explain what it means is by giving you a true fact. I love giving you some random facts in case you're ever on Jeopardy. And you can tithe and help us pay the building off. Amen. And so if you win, no, this is just an interesting fact. How many has ever heard of the Nobel Peace Prize? Did you know that was invented by Alfred Nobel, who founded the Nobel Peace Prize, but what you may not know, he's also the inventor of dynamite. Can I tell you, if that's ever the greatest illustration of what a peacemaker is, there it is right there. Because you and I, once we need to first receive the Prince of Peace, that's the Nobel Peace Prize. That's the peace. That's the ability to bring peace into every situation. It's the ability to bring peace into the chaos. That's peace. We are someone who are to carry the peace. We are called children of God when we are, and we really are the children of God, when we are carrying the peace of God into every situation. That's part of it. But how many knows, in order to bring God's peace, we got to disrupt the false peace that is there? And there's where the dynamite comes into play. The word peacemaker, as Jesus used it, is actually two words, just like the two dynamite and Nobel Peace Prize. It's the word shalom. In the Old Testament, it's shalom. In the New Testament, it's Irenus. In fact, if your name is Irene, that comes from the New Testament Greek word of peace, of shalom. And shalom means wholeness. It means together. After, you know, after the dynamite explodes, God wants to bring his peace and bring things together. Amen. That's what shalom, it means togetherness, a wholeness, tranquility, that peace that everyone's looking for, that peace that everybody needs. It's that peace that we all need. But maker is a adjective. It's an action word. It means to, it's the Greek word poieo, it means to cast out, to purge, to take action. Let me tell you something, folks. This is a message that we need to take action. So if you came here today wondering, what's this guy in this sweater going to say today? What's Eddie got for us today? This is not that kind of sermon. This is not that kind of church. This is not that kind of message that God wants. You and I have got to learn to take action. There comes a time when we've got to not only be listeners of the word, but doers of the word. And if you're wanting to get the peace of God in your life, we've got to take action. We've got to grow up a little bit. This is maturity, is when we start, you know, taking notes is awesome. That's the first step, because you ain't going to remember everything. But living the notes, amen, reliving them, looking over them and meditating them and asking what God wants us to do. How can we apply this word? Listen, you'll never see the power of God in your life activated until you apply it. That's okay. Five of you got it. You'll never see the power of God demonstrated in your life until you and I apply it. You got to apply it. James says, don't be a hearer, only be a doer. And I believe you know that. You come to this church, we preach about that all the time. There comes a point when you do it. I was talking with my nephews and my nieces. They are in college. Lydia's here on the front row, and Isaiah was with us. Amen. Over the weekend, and just talk about from high school to college. How many know it's different? How many know you got teachers, elementary teachers, all the way up? Teachers are very caring, you know. At least I had some very caring teachers. You know, they may leave you a little. I had one teacher every time I opened the top of my desk every so often, he would put little candy canes in there around Christmas time, you know. We had teachers that kind of just go the extra mile. We got a lot of teachers here in our church, and they are people that care, and they do, and it's awesome. How many know when you get to college, them professors don't care if you pass or fail, meaning they're going to get paid regardless. How many know, because you're an adult, you got to set the alarm now to get up. How many know the professor's not going to call us and make sure you're out of your dorm, you've been out all night. How many know he's going to teach, or she's going to teach, right, Dr. Reed? You're going to get the lesson out no matter if you, why? Because you're an adult now. You and I have got to come to that level of responsibility where I have got to apply myself, whether you got a full ride or mom and dad's paying all the way, whatever. There is a responsibility that comes with that level, that age of being adult. You got to get it together. You got to set that alarm. You got to go. That's what this message is all about. That's what this, I know it's December, it's Christmas, and we don't get that Christmas thing on you. Amen. This is the kingdom of God. This is the word of God that wants to bring life into our lives. And so a peacemaker and a peacekeeper are different. Peacekeepers are passive. Peacemakers are bold. Peacekeepers avoid. They avoid while peacemakers engage. Peacekeepers minimize conflict, while peacemakers maximize crucial questions and conversations that will lead to peace. That's what a peacemaker is. So first you have the shalom. You got to first receive the Prince of Peace. And we're going to talk about that all month long, of the price of peace and the Prince of Peace and all of that, on how you got to get peace. This is not a religious service. This is not a religious church. You hear me say that all the time. Jesus didn't come to start a religion. A religion is this empty ceremonies that many of us practice and do, and our heart is not in it. Jesus came to show us how to have a relationship with the Father and to have a life-changing relationship with the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And once we receive, so you got to first receive Jesus. You got to know Jesus. Remember that thing we had in church? We used to have it and put it out front when we had a marquee over on Savage Road. And it was in front. We put little church signs. You know, you've seen them in front of churches, you know. Most churches now just do websites and social media. It's where we live at. But one of them used to be, what was a favorite of mine, Know Jesus, No Peace. N-O-N-O. Know Jesus, No Peace. And what was the other part of it? Know Jesus, K-N-O-W, No Peace. K-N-O-W, Peace. Isn't that good? Yeah, that's good. And that we put that on marquees. We talked about it. You might have saw it on social media. But here's the thing that I've realized. It's not that it's not wrong or right. I just don't think it's not all true. Because how many know you can have the Prince of Peace and still be dealing with chaos? Come on now. Come on. You can have the Prince of Peace. You can have shalom. You can have togetherness. You can have tranquility, but yet you seem like you're not experiencing the peace of God. How about this? That one song in the Christmas time, sleep in heavenly peace. How'd y'all sleep last night? Without any help of anything, how did you sleep last night? Amen. No, melatonin, all that. I mean, are you experiencing the heavenly peace, the heavenly sleep? You know what I'm saying? And many of us don't experience that. And here's where I'm getting to is because we may have the peace, the Prince of Peace in our life, but we have not allowed him to disrupt the things in our lives that's robbing us of the peace that he wants to give us. And so it brings us to the book of Romans that I went through as I begin to read the peacemakers, and I've been looking over into there and begin to look at how Jesus is. You got to know Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He absolutely is. But you also got to realize that Jesus, I was reading this the other day, he taught about peace. He taught about having peace. And he looked at Jerusalem and he cried. He said, he wept over them because they did not know the things that would bring them true peace. He wept over them. And then if you keep reading, the Bible says after he taught about peace, he went right into the temple and he began to flip some tables. That's the Prince of Peace. I don't get it. That's your academy. That's your Nobel Peace Prize in some dynamite. That's the Jesus that you and I, that's the tension we live in as New Testament believers. Is that you have this heavenly peace coming into our lives, but at the same time, we allow things from this earth that's attacking that very peace, and it's up to you and I to let Jesus flip over some tables in our life because it's robbing us of his true peace. These tables that he wants to flip over in our lives, and then after that, the Bible says, then he taught. See, there you go. He disrupts the false peace to bring his true peace. So you can know K-N-O-W about Jesus, but not be really, really experiencing peace. And I believe it's because you have not activated the Word of God and allowed you to become a peacemaker. Because after he gets in our life and he flips some tables over and he gets rid of some things and he begins to teach and bring his peace, his true peace into our lives, and you and I then are commissioned to go and to make disciples and to bring peace. But in order to bring peace in those situations, you're probably dealing with conflict somewhere in your family right now. You're avoiding the holidays. I mean, you love the holidays, but that cousin's coming. Hallelujah. That aunt's coming. That person pulling the blank. And you're tempted to not even invite them. But can I tell you that God wants peace on earth, and he's done it by not just bringing Jesus, by commissioning you and I to be the very ones to be peacemakers. Oh, you're going to have to holler back at me today. Jesus, he flipped over. Peacemakers are confrontational. They are confrontational. They are compassionate, confrontational. And I thank God that he did not. You know, you got to have compassion to why you want to bring peace. The opposite of love, the opposite of love is actually not hate. The opposite of love is apathy. I mean, if you have hate, you at least have some love, some skin in the game that causes you to be hate, to, you know, because you hate, because you got to have something. But if you get to the place when you just don't care, your apathy, that's actually the definition of love. That's where you don't want to go. And God looked down at our mess and said, I love you too much to leave you. So I want to come down and disrupt. I want to come and disrupt the peace. I want to disrupt your peace to bring my peace. And that's what the whole night was about, the whole Christmas season. We're going to unpack that whole thing as we go, but he's confrontational. Romans, the book of Romans, is all about conflict. It's all about conflict. It starts off talking about the flesh and warring against the flesh. And I put this on the screen, Romans 8. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit put their minds on the things of the Spirit. Look at this verse. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and shalom. There's that word. You see that? So you can know Jesus. You can have Jesus' Spirit in you. And I love that song. I love that exhortation, Eddie. But we go right back up out of here. And if we're not walking in step with the Holy Spirit, this scripture says that you're not going to have the peace of God in your life. Some of us are not experiencing that peace because we simply are walking in the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. Oh, I'm not getting no amens. I'm not getting no amens in this Christmas service today. It's not me. Look what he said. He said, listen, this is a part of the problem. Because when Jesus comes into your life, he just doesn't make you a better person. He makes you a totally new person. But in order to have some renovation, in order for that to happen, he's got to get messy. He's got to knock some attitudes down. He's got to get rid of some of these things that we've been dependent on, we've been reaching for. You know, they give us this false peace. That stuff's got to go away because that is what is actually keeping us from the peace of God. See how he does that? Y'all never seen peace in Romans 6, 7, and 8, have you? No, it is all in there. He starts with hope. He starts with peace because hope is associated with peace and love and all those three, but they all go together. They're fruits of the Spirit. Again, back to that. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, but we're never going to see that activated in our lives when we're walking in the flesh, when we're walking in compromise, when we're walking in disobedience, when we're holding bitterness and unforgiveness. Come on here. I'm just trying to help you today. It's robbing you and I of the peace of God. You're not going to experience that. Shown. So what we do, and there are some people in your lives and in our lives that when you're with them, they bring out the very worst in you. You do the worst things when you're with certain people. I'm going to have to come down here and get y'all's Kool-Aid this morning because you're too quiet today. I know it because I had them too. And you know it and I know it, but the problem is it's hard to break that away from them because we like it, because we got that in common. We got that in common. And so it's hard for us to separate and let God to start doing what he wants to do in our lives because we just are walking in the flesh. We're walking and doing things that we know we're not pleasing to God. And the Bible says here, it's robbing you of the peace and it's causing you to be inactive as a peacemaker. You ain't helping bring it. You're trying to keep the peace everywhere you go because you haven't allowed God to make his peace in you. So therefore, you've settled for a false peace. And how can you bring the true peace when you haven't let him get it inside of you? That makes sense? Come on, preach. Thank you. So it simply can just be letting God flip over some things in our lives that represent the flesh. Start shutting some doors. I can't be doing that, man. I can't be going there. I can't be doing this because you may go to church every week. You may watch services all the time. Again, this is an action type message. Amen. You and I aren't going to see it unless we apply it. You want freedom? You want freedom? You want peace? Let me tell you something. This is a guy that used to reach for every kind of false peace there was. Because it's easy. Isn't it easy? It's easy to just crack that open and roll that up and take this and run to that relationship, run to that website. You could do it sitting right in your bed. It's so easy to do that than to put your flesh on the cross and to get up and get in your word and say, God, I don't even feel that you're with me, but I'm going to lean in. I'm going to lean in with my spirit and put my flesh to the side and worship you and let you do your work. Renew my mind. Renew my attitude. Renew my desire. Make me a new person in you. And then you know what will happen? Then the peace of God will come. Because in the kingdom of God, the feelings always follow the decisions and the actions. In the way of the world, whatever we feel like doing, we will do. When you feel it, you will do it. In the things of God, it's opposite. You don't feel like praying. You don't feel like giving. You don't feel like going to South Africa. You don't feel like forgiving. You don't feel like reaching an olive branch. You don't feel like reading your Bible. You don't feel like doing that. But the Lord says, if you will trust in me with all of your heart, if you will put me first and start walking in the Spirit, you will get that peace. You will get that joy. You will get that hope. You will get that love. Who am I talking to today? It always follows. What if Jesus went to the cross? Do you think he felt like it? He had it marked on his calendar? Like you count down to Christmas, they would be all together and they'd say, oh, Jesus, we're flipping the number. Today's number 6, December 6th. Countdown is on. Jesus was like, yay, I get to go on a cross and be humiliated, naked, and crucified. Can't wait. No, your Bible says the night before he was saying, God, if it's possible. And I was reading this the other day, and he said this. Read it. It's awesome. He says, and all things are possible, Father, if you would take this cup for me. Do you know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying, God, them earthlings, them human beings, they struggle in believing that you can heal a headache, but I've seen you put the universe in place. God, you can stop time. You can stop time. You think God is up there? He can stop time. Time right there. He can just say, pause time, because I created time. God don't live in time. He lives outside of time. Why? So he can be in your past. He can be in your future. But he told Moses, I am the God of the I am. I am in your moment. I am in your present. I am the present helper in your present time of need. Jesus said it's possible for you to just stop and make everything just go back to the way it was as if I didn't even come. But he said, nevertheless. How many of you are thankful he said, nevertheless? He said, nevertheless, not my will. That's why Hebrews tells us that we got a high priest that can relate to our struggles. He's not a religious person that's looking at you saying, get away from me. Jesus is like, I know how it is when you feel like quitting. Jesus is like, I know how it is, wanting to hang it up, wanting to walk away, wanting to get all in your flesh. But the scripture says, back to my point, that the joy, the good feelings was set before him on the other side of the cross. And he said, I know the cross is going to be painful. I know walking in the Spirit is going to be painful. I know I may lose some friends. I may lose some followers on social media. I may lose some account of reputation thing, but I know the joy, come on, the peace, the hope that's on the other side of it. Got me yelling up here in my sweater. Hallelujah. And then we move from walking in the flesh, that's habits, compromise, those sinful desires. I talk a lot about it because that's my story, that's my life, and that's where we live. Paul wrote a whole chapter of Romans 7 right in the middle of all of this. Talking about the struggle. How many know? Tell your neighbor the struggle is real. I told you you're going to talk to him. Tell him the struggle is real. If you're saying amen, tell him right back, amen. Amen. That's why I love the Bible. It's transparent. It's vulnerable. That's how you know it wasn't written by men. Because if Peter wrote, he wouldn't admit it that he's the one that denied Jesus Christ. If that was you and me, we put the highlight reel up there, baby. This is how we look, when really that's nothing how you look at all. That's how we know that God inspired the writers to write, because it tells us about their flaws, and it tells us about their weaknesses and their humanity. But I'm thankful that it doesn't leave humanity down in the depths. It doesn't leave us in our chaos. He says, I want to flip over some table because I got some good peace I want to bring into your life. It's the shalom, the peace of God into our lives. Hallelujah. So the other portion of scripture, he goes from the flesh into this, and we read it together. If God is for us, who can be against us? Woo, there you go. We love that one. If God be for us, you got to say it like a preacher. If God be for us. That's how I see it. Do you ever read people's text messages in the voice of the person sending you a text message? I will do it, and sometimes I'll do it out loud, and Melinda says, Eddie, honey. But some people told me, you know, when I read the Bible, I hear your voice. Hear his voice, number one, but I'm flattered, amen, that you hear me voice. But do you hear me say it like this? And that's why I say it. So when you get here in your morning devotion in the morning for coffee, you're going to say, if God God be for us? All the babies waking, the dog barking. Come on, you may stir something up in this place. You can't wake up. I watched Miranda. She can eat. Her and Tyler, they eat in silence while the baby's sleeping. You do everything in silence. Don't wake them babies up. But when you read the scripture, you got to read that if God is for us. But here's what I want you to see. He says, who can be against us? Who shall bring a charge against us? Who shall condemn us? Here's the thing. It's always a who, not a what. In the Bible, it's always a who behind the what. Some of y'all think you're dealing with addictions. You say some people think they're dealing with the situation with your family. You're dealing with the situation at work. But the scripture says it's not a what. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It's always a who. Some of you, if you would just get the wrong people out of your life, you'll stop doing the wrong things. I'm not preaching that today, but I will. And some will just get the right people in your life. You'll start doing the right things. Right. Let me read this story that Jesus healed a blind man, and the only guy in the Bible that Jesus prayed twice for him. The only guy. And the Bible says that he was a blind man, and they brought him to Jesus, which I always got interested because everybody that came to Jesus, even the blind, they went to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, he just had to point me in the right direction. But this guy had to be brought to Jesus. And Jesus prayed for him and said, can you see now? He said, nope, I still see men as trees. And the Bible said they let him out of the city. He prayed for that man again and made him look up. And then the second time he was healed. Why? There's so many scholars have so many debates and what that is. What I believe that was is because he really didn't want to be there in the first place because he had a comfortable system in place. His peace was in that city. But Jesus said, I got to get you out of that city. I got to get you out of that system that you've been falling back on when you have a rough day. I got to get you out of that habit that you've been running to. I got to get you away from that thing, that who, because you've got a comfortable place that coddles you and doesn't challenge you. And I got to get you out of that city and make you look up. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Come on, tell your neighbor, he's preaching to you. He's preaching to you. Get your eyes back on Jesus. He made him look up, and then his eyes were opened. And then he said to him this, don't go back into that city. After this message, you want to be a peacemaker, don't go back to that peace, that false peace. This is how revival breaks out. You're talking like this kind of stuff. You start talking about this kind of stuff, you start seeing revival breaking out. Because Jesus is going from a happy little baby and a savior to the king that's flipping over tables in my life, setting up his dominion in my life. And then that royalty, that power that's been missing, that power that's been missing. And another thing that robs our peace back to the flesh is our busyness. Running around. Busyness. Trying to be perfect. See, your peace isn't based on people, whether they're with you or not. And I'm going to bring this out of the next weeks. The peace of God isn't based on something. It's based on someone. And that's the Prince of Peace. Some of you think, if I can just remove this from my life, I'll have peace. Peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. That's what a peacemaker, listen, a peacemaker can be having chaos all around you, but yet you're able to walk right into it and deliver the peace of God. Why? Because you've allowed God to flip over some tables, get rid of some bitterness, some sin, some things that are robbing, and you're able to have the peace of God walking in peace and walking with the Spirit. So everything can be falling apart all around you, but you can be walking with peace right in the middle. Why? Because you got the peacemaker and the Prince of Peace in you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You ready for some more? Can you handle a little more? We're starting to close. Starting to close. Amen. Pretty soon. Amen. We're going. You see this with Jonah. We all talk about Jonah running away from God, right? Got on that boat, went in the opposite direction. And we talk about Jonah. Do you ever think about the men on the boat was minding their own business? And Jonah got on their boat. It's always a who, not a what. I don't know who this is for. Some of y'all let a Jonah on your boat. That's another message for another time. And Jonah even knew, and he was downstairs sleeping. How many know the one that's causing the most chaos in your family? The one that's causing the most pain and disruption to your peace will be out there sleeping, talking about, wake me up when it's time to open my present. Ooh, just look straight ahead. Jonah was down there sleeping, and when they woke him up, they said, we're in the middle of a storm. He was like, I know, it's me. Some people know they're the ones causing the storm. But you got to be a peacemaker. Why? Because a peacemaker confronts. And I know many don't like to be confrontational. I kind of like confrontation. Because I've learned when you have those hard conversations, that's how you bring true change. I can preach 6 weeks on living holy before God and watching victory and healing, and you won't change. Somebody won't change. But I'll sit down and have a half-hour conversation over a cup of coffee, and you let me get real, and I get real with you and watch change fall off of your life like that. Because we get into this kind of a setting, and it's like, let's see what he's got today. Amen. That's good. I'll remember that. And not always. I know y'all listening, all right? You guys, lives are changed that way. Absolutely. But it's the one-on-ones that Jesus was crazy about. Amen. Jesus was loving the one-on-ones, the woman at the well, the tax collector. He was into that because that's why we push life groups so much, because it's the one-on-ones. It's the going on missions trips. It's working on teams and serving on teams that you meet. But it's always the who behind the what. And so they got Jonah off the boat. You got to get the wrong people off your boat and get the right people in your boat. And I thought of Jonah or Jesus. How many would need to get rid of Jonah? And there's some of you that need to put Jesus in your boat. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When they were going through a storm, they wouldn't woke him up. And he didn't say, I'm the cause of it. He said, I'm going to stop it. And some of y'all got to have Jesus in your boat. Boy, that's a preach. Woo, preach that again another time, Eddie. Okay, I will. Let's get, after we get to confrontational, I'm going to start to close with this. A peacemaker is carriers of God's peace. Peacemaker, I didn't put these points on the screen. You just got to catch them, write them down. We're carriers of the true peace. And we're also, peacemakers are confrontational. But peacemakers are also, you got to be confident. Because some of y'all read that verse, and I was reading this verse. The Holy Spirit showed this to me. If God be for us. Some of you guys read it in this voice. If God is really with me. If you read it as a question, is if God was really for you. That's why he goes with all of the rest of the chapter telling you. First he says, if God is for us. That's why he answers that the four attacks of your peace. I don't got time to bring all this out, but he gives you four attacks. And he says, if God be for us, who can be against you? Who shall bring a charge against you? Who shall condemn you? And who shall separate you? What's that? He's talking, some of y'all, it's the flesh, absolutely. Some of y'all, it's some people in your life, but here's a big one that we all wrestle with, is the lies from the enemy. Oh, I wish I had 20 more minutes. This right here is what will cause a peacemaker to become inactive, because you'll start to believe the lies of the enemy. You'll start to believe that he's attacking you, that you're never going to be a peacemaker because you did this in your past, because you've done that in your past. And the lies of the enemy will start coming into your life. And that's why you got to move from, if God be for me, what did we read? I am persuaded. I am persuaded. What did he say in verse 1? He says that I am confident that all things work together for the good. You see in this chapter, he went from being, he said, you got to be confident. You got to be persuaded. So you can't be saying, if God is for me. You got to say, you got to be persuaded that he has paid that price. And those four accusations, he has done four things to give us them. He has called us. He has predestined us. He has justified us. And he has glorified us. It's all in that chapter. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to close this out. Worship team, why don't you come? I want us to end this out today. Being confident, Paul says, I am confident of this very thing, that all things work together for the good. You're not going to be a peacemaker unless you're confident in what God has done for you. And all month long, I'm going to convince you, I'm going to persuade you, I'm going to show you that it's nothing you can do to earn that forgiveness, that justification that he gave us. Jesus paid the price for our peace. You receive that peace. You let him disrupt that peace in your life. You get some things out of, let him get some things out of the way. Let him get the Jonah off your boat. Let him get the, I don't know where you are in this message. Shut some doors, bitterness, unforgiveness. You got to shut that all up and let the peace of God, and then be confident that he can use you to bring peace to that situation in your family. Why? Because of you've been forgiven, you've been justified, you've been cleansed, you've been washed. I am persuaded that nothing can separate me. The enemy's trying to tell you he's separating you from God's love. I've done this, I've done that. Man, this is... He said, I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's what a peacemaker, they're confident. They're confident. Come on, you got to get that confidence today. You got to get that confidence. You want to be God, you want God to make you a peacemaker. You got to get that confidence. So where are you at in this message? I'm going to open the altars. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come right now. We're going to sing one more song. We do this at the end of every service. And if you're in this place and you need to let Jesus flip some tables over in your life, you need him to disrupt the false peace to bring his true peace, you need to come up and get prayer. Or if you're in this place and you want to be activated as a peacemaker, you got a situation you're dealing with and you need some help, you need that confidence that God is walking with you, I want you to come as we sing this song. I want you to come. They're already coming. I want you to come and get this prayer. That's how we're going to close this service. Take action, church. Where are you? Take action. Take action today in Jesus' name. Where are you at? You need this peace. You need God to disrupt that peace, that false peace, to give you his true peace. Where are you? Where are you? Thank you, Jesus. Come on. He wants to bring that peace. Come on, get prayer. You in this place and you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You haven't done that yet. Today would be a great day. This is where you start receiving the Prince of Peace in your life. All other needs, I want you to come and get prayer today. Because he's got a mission for you. He's got an assignment for you to be a peacemaker in Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship. Let's worship as they're praying today.
This is my firm foundation.
Yes, Lord, we receive this word today.
The rock on which I stand. Everything around me shaking.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I put my faith in Jesus.
Come on, let's sing.
He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations.
Thank you, Jesus.
So why would he?
Come on.
He won't.
Come on. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of his presence, his promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.